Everyone to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call on this Thursday, March 9th, 2017. This is Peyman Mutahede, the founder and president of Freedom Law School, and your host for this weekly program. Folks, I started Freedom Law School back in 1996, over 20 years ago, to educate and empower you, the average American, on how to live free of oppressive taxation and control. I came from Iran, yet no freedoms there. America's land of the free, yet freedom of speech and many other rights. And so I'm sharing this information to you folks to help you live free. I started in 2000 and also assisting free lawyers to live free. Because so many people were telling me, hey, I love education, thank you, but I also need some help. Can you take care of this for me? Can you write this letter for me? Can you get the IRS off of my back? Education's great. I appreciate you trying to help me, help myself, help me fish for myself, rather than just give me a fish. But I also need some help right now. I got situations, I got questions, I got concerns. Will you please take care of this issue for me, give me your input, or help me out, write letters or whatever. So as a result of that, folks, Freedom Law School was developed in not just education, but also assisting you to live free, providing solutions and answers that work for you and your personal situation. While educating for you, last few weeks, we have taught classes that took longer than expected to complete. So I have not been able to answer your freedom questions and these conference calls over the last few weeks. So tonight, I'm not doing a class like I usually do. We have a class next week. Tonight, I'm dedicated to answering your freedom questions. Whether you have or have not filed a 1040 income tax confession form, if you got any questions that you're afraid to ask, not sure where to go to, what to do, what to say, how to respond. I'm not sure how your property or your freedom or your situation might be at risk. You want to understand your situation better? I'm happy to help you with that. In fact, at these weekly conference calls of Freedom Law School, you get fax, email, or U.S. mail to Freedom Law School up to 10 pages of any of your paperwork or situation and market that it for discussion and answer on this conference call. I will review your paperwork and I will work for you on these weekly conference calls at no charge. Absolutely free. I do my best to do so. Well, I am available for one of my private paid consultations. I really do try to help people with their questions on these conference calls, because your questions, folks, many of them are common to a lot of other people with similar situations and concerns as yours. So I'm hoping that by asking one person's questions, I can answer the questions of several other people on that call or in the future when someone listens to the recordings of these calls. Because these calls are recorded and you can find an answer in a conference call I did 2 months ago or a year ago. So having said that, folks, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be taking your questions and doing my best to answer them on the conference call tonight. If I can do that fully, I will do so. What you really want or need is one of Freedom Law School's courses or freedom packages. Sometimes you really need a detailed one-on-one personal consultation with all your paperwork, which is for me to see, and private discussions to see what's really going on and to solve your problem for you. And sometimes I may have to refer you to somebody else that is better qualified to assist you with your question or issue. But no matter what, folks, I will do my best to answer your freedom questions. And we have everything, so I'm gonna have to direct call sometimes. Please don't take too long, because I got other people waiting to get their questions answered in this time frame that we have. But I'm not gonna rush you off either. Just get to the point, folks, and I'll be happy to do my best to give you an answer that will work for you. Now, what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna start the calls in order of the people that called in. So if you call in earlier, I suppose you want to get off the phone earlier. You are more, you know, eager to get your question answered. I'm going to go in that way and then end it when the last person's question I asked. If the question is answered and you have additional question later on, that's okay too, because at the end, I will give everybody one more opportunity to answer any additional question heard or come to your mind. So the only thing I want to do for you is giving your name and the state you're calling from. And your name could be real or pseudonym. It doesn't matter. Remember, these are public calls. Anyone, including the government or public agent or IRS agent, could be on this call recording it and try to use it against you or me. So, to protect your privacy, do not give me your last name. Just give me your first name, the state you're calling from, and also I'd like to know how you heard about Freedom Law School. That's helpful to Freedom Law School to see what is working for us to reach more people, because that's always one of our challenges, to help more people. So with that, let's go to the call from area code 312. If you have a question, call from area code 312. Please give me your first name, the state you're calling from, how you heard about Freedom Law School, and then your question, please.
All right, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, sir. What's your name, my friend?
There we go. My name is Mike, and I'm calling from Illinois. And
how did you hear about Freedom Law School, Mike?
How did I hear about you guys? I think just through online research. Quite a bit of online.
Get more specific, like how? Was it through a Facebook campaign? Was it a friend forward an email to you, or YouTube or Google search, or how was it you got to us? Do you have any idea?
It probably was Google searching. A lot of research on the Constitution, the 16th Amendment. I ended up with, I think it's multiple websites, couple of YouTube pages, some videos, I think I end up finding you guys and reading about what you guys do.
Well, congratulations, folks, because I'm thanking you for that nice explanation, Mike, because that gives me a better idea how people are finding us, because these is most people find us online. Okay, word of mouth has gone online, but exactly how you get to us, that helps us know what we need to do to reach more people, my friend. Very good. So what's on your mind, Mike? How may I be able to assist you?
Well, first of all, I don't know if anybody else is having this problem, but you're coming across quite broken up, almost like a robot. There, you keep cutting out in and out, and I checked my signal, and I called from a different line, and it looks like it's working on both of them, so it might be from your end. Is it something that can be fixed, or we're just going to have to work through it?
I am afraid that I've heard this problem on these conference calls before. So it looks like, folks, in the near future, I will be leaving Blog Talk Radio because of their poor sound quality that you are experiencing. Meanwhile, please do the best we can to ask me your questions, and I will talk slower than normal to make sure you can make sense of what I am saying.
Okay, excellent. So, I mean, I'm guessing it's pretty, it's probably assumable that the reason most of the callers connect with you is because they're having issues with the IRS, and I'm having an issue with the IRS. And through my research, I've met a few people, and I've met one of the protesters that's fighting and has had some success. He's also had a little bit of jail time, I guess, but the appellate court let him out. And he helped put together something for me that is very interesting, and I wanted to get your opinion on it. So he put together, he went through the CFR code and found out that part 31 of the CFR code, section 0.205, there's a very specific requirement that any delegated authority, that any person requesting information from the IRS must prove through copy of properly executed delegated authority to access any of the accounts that they go through. And so he said that he's had success through this, and I wanted to ask your opinion on it. Now, I have a copy of what he sent me as the CFR code, and it does illustrate this in section 205. It says, very clearly, it says, care of documents and data, employees shall not...
Hold on, Mike. Oh, sorry. Mike, wait. We're getting too technical. It may not be relevant, this code section, to this topic, my friend. Let me help you out because I think I know where you're going. What is the problem or issue you're having this friend through the use of the CFR, which stands, everybody, for the Code of Federal Regulations, which is the regulations written by the executive branch of the government, the IRS, to interpret and enforce the laws of Congress. What is the issue that you got that you're trying to solve with this CFR approach of your friend? Are you being summoned by the IRS?
I have a criminal investigation going on the IRS's side regarding my tax returns from 2011 till current for excessive amounts of cash.
You filed for those years or not?
Insufficient returns and not enough taxable income proved or given to the IRS in those years.
So you filed regular 1040 forms, or you did it some kind of a Patriot way? What kind of a 1040 form did you fill out, or how did you fill it out?
Just regular 1040s. I filed 1040s along with also corporate returns for corporations as well. And my understanding is the criminal investigation department has been alerted through probably a referral from an auditor, because I got audited. That is my guess as to what caused this. But the point is that I think that what they're trying to do is establish a value as to what I'm worth, and then figure out how much I've paid in taxes and subtract the two, and hit me for...
Let me see if I can get this clearly understood. It seems like you were under audit, and an auditor referred it to criminal investigation. And the reason they're coming after you is because some reason they think you're not reporting all of your income on your 1040 income tax confession forms you filed for 2011 through 2015. So they are trying to establish your total income by your lifestyles to see how much homes and cars and other personal assets and expenses you have to determine what your actual income is. Is that correct?
That's very accurate.
Okay. All right. Well, this is something, Mike, we should be talking about privately at a private one-on-one consultation. But before we do that, because this is, you know, I got to get into details without asking a lot more personal questions about you and your situation and what happened, what didn't happen, what did you put on your corporate and income tax return, personal tax returns, and to see what those tax returns say and see where the IRS is getting an idea in their heads that you might be cheating according to them, and see how strong of a case they may or may not have against you and what could be done to strengthen your defense and or dissuade, discourage the IRS from going forward and picking on you. So let me ask you a couple more questions, Mike. What do you do for a living?
I buy and sell businesses.
Okay. Are you a business broker, or you buy a business, improve it, fix it, improve it, and then sell to somebody for profit? Which one do you do?
I'm sorry. I didn't get that question.
Are you a business broker, or you buy a business, improve it, and after you improve it, you raise its revenues and make it more profitable, you sell it to someone else? Which one do you do?
Correct, the second.
Okay, I understand that.
I improve the business, and then I either sell it back to the owners, or original owners, or I sell my shares to somebody else.
Very nice. Very interesting job you do. I've heard about people doing what you do, but I've never came across someone who did that. Okay, so you work for yourself, basically. All right. Well, thing is that what you didn't know until now, but I will tell you, I'm not sure how much you know, is that I believe the average American is not required to follow pay the federal income tax. It's a huge lie, fraud, and scam to enslave the American people and just get the money out of their pocket to the pocket of the government and the big banks and corporations who pay for the election and re-election advertising campaign of the politicians. It's a scam by the people in power, the elite. They own the banks, they own the media, they own the major politicians of America. So you, in my opinion, there was no law requiring you to follow those 1040 income tax confession forms to begin with. Now, you could be charged with tax evasion, with material misstatement of fact on those 1040 forms and other charges. And they're felonies. That means they're serious crimes, and they could charge you with multiple at the same time for each of those years. You're talking about 6 years, which is typical they go after people for. So, technically speaking, you know, 6 years, you could be looking at going to jail up to 40, 50 years, the way they stack up the charges against you and the way they try to pressure you to make a guilty plea to go to jail maybe for 3 or 5 years or whatever, and rather than risking going to jail longer. That's what the IRS typically does. And unfortunately, filers like you, business owners like you, are the ones that are most risk of going to prison for filing a 1040 income tax confession form, because you do not have it. Automatic withholding from your pay, you have to force yourself to fill out the forms and send money to the IRS thieves. It's like, who enjoys having the beating themselves? It's kind of a non-automatic thing. It's hard to do. And number two, you have a lot of expenses, deductions, credits, perhaps amortization, different schedules and statements that need to be attached to the 1040 form, that they can be done more than one way, and it is easy to make mistakes. It's easy not to do things right on those. And you have to rely on a tax professional, bookkeeper, accountant, attorney, to help you with all this. When you don't understand really what all this is all about, what you're supposed to do. So that's the problem. And one of my students, Joseph Bannister, you might have heard about him. Have you heard about Joe Bannister, Mike, so far? Have you come across him?
What was his name?
Have you heard about Joseph or Joe Bannister?
Yeah, I've heard of Joe Bannister.
You can go on YouTube, type Joseph Bannister or Joe Bannister. His speech at Freedom Law School 2000 Freedom Rally will come up. He's one of my students. He was a former IRS criminal investigator, special agent, just like the guy who was after you. And in 5 years that he was with the IRS, he went after and got nailed and went after and convicted 4 small business owners like you. Because you're the easiest one for them to get. They all they got is pick on your 1040 income tax confession form. And they are confession forms. They are not returns, because after all, Mike, you never took anything from the government to give it back to them on a return. It's not a return. It's a misnomer, misname. It's a psychological deception game to trick you into doing something you feel obligated to do, because you always return something you took. So it puts you in a psychological makeup of returning something that you never took in the first place. So they do use it against you. What you should do, Mike, is you should send me a copy of all your 2011 to 15, all the tax 1040 forms you filled out to Freedom Law School. Okay. And you can write me 2 paragraphs, 2 pages, whatever you want, of explanation, questions, notes, information that will help me better understand your situation. Send that along with 240 cash only to Freedom Law School on our app address on our website at livefreenow.org in Florida. Put all your phone numbers there. So as soon as your package is received, you get a call back to set up a time for us to go over your situation privately on the telephone, my friend. So I give you specific recommendations, suggestions. If necessary, I can refer you to a good, competent attorney who understands stuff, who will defend your right if necessary, and not charge an arm and a leg and a shoulder, and then at the end have you plead guilty. Because that's what they a lot of times do. They charge you a lot of money, $100,000, $200,000, and then they tell you, let's go make a deal. Plead guilty to lesser charges, agree to go to jail for maybe 2 to 4 years. And you go to jail, you pay this guy $100,000, $200,000 for what? For a deal, plea bargain deal. Going to prison, you could have done on your own, which you don't want to do, obviously. So let me suggest you do that, my friend, as soon as you can. Let's get on this thing. I can help you, but I need to see your paper, my friend, so I can give you some useful answers that will help you. All right,
okay.
Mike?
Okay. Yep.
Stay on the call, my friend. I hope you find other people's questions and answers also useful and informative. Let's go out to our next call from area code 585. Do you have a question, Eric, from call from area code 585? So please identify yourself. No questions from call from area code 585. Okay. Let's go to the call from area code 973. Call from area code 973. If you have a question, go and ask yourself.
I'm just listening, learning.
Okay, very good, my friend. All right, I'm going to go to another call we got from area code 917. They call from area code 917. If you have a question, please announce yourself. No question from call from area code 917. Okay, I'm going to get back to Mike from area code 312. But Mike, since I got a little bit more time, not as many other people with questions, I'm going to try to give you a little more perspective and understanding of this issue. Let me ask you a question before I do that, though. Yes, who are you? What telephone number are you calling from?
The 312 number?
Yes. Oh, you, Mike. Yes, go ahead, Mike. What's your question, Mike?
So my question is this. Is it true that in the last, down on the IRS in the last 2 years, that the burden of proof is now on them? From my understanding, prior to 2014, the IRS had free reign over the public. But as of 2015, 2016, and current, in order for them to win, the burden of proof has now become on them.
That is not true. That has never been true. And that cannot be true. When they were proposing that in 1998 in the congressional hearings, which I remember very well, and they wanted to put the burden of proof on the IRS, the Commission of Internal Revenue was in Congress and scared the bejesus at a congressman and said that you might as well just pass the hat. In other words, we cannot enforce the law by force, because rather than that burden of proof being on the citizen to show the innocence, the government has to prove the case. Simply, they cannot do that. So, in fact, there's a case called Gatlin, G-A-T-L-I-N, versus Commissioner of Internal Revenue. You can look it up online. Type Gatlin, G-A-T-L-I-N, V, period, Commissioner of Internal Revenue. And that 11th Circuit Court of Appeal explains that when you do not file, you do not confess how much you have made, what is your taxable income, you don't, the burden of proof is on the IRS to prove that you receive that kind of a taxable income. But when you file, the court says the situation is completely different. In that filer form, you file a 1040 form, you confess, you admit, you state under oath that you receive and have taxable income. All you're doing, Mike, is saying, but that taxable income, the gross receipts, is not correct. If your gross receipts was, let's say, $500,000, you don't pay tax on that $500,000 of receipts. You have, let's say, $300,000 of expenses you want to claim, which makes your net income taxable, $200,000. And they want to tax you on that $200,000. That burden of proof is on you to prove your expenses. Otherwise, you know, how could the government prove, you know, what your expenses were or not? So that is not true, what you heard. Also, in criminal cases, the burden of proof has always been on the government to prove the guilt of somebody. So it's two different standards. For criminal cases, when they want to put you in prison, the government has always had the burden of proof. But in civil cases, when it's over money issue audits, IRS trying to just impose taxes on you to steal from you, The burden of proof is on the people who filed at 1040 income tax confession form to prove their expenses, deductions, credits, amortization table, how they filled out the form, all that is on you. Does that make sense, Mike, to you?
Yeah, it does. I think I was asking specifically about criminal cases, but yeah, you answered the question. In other words, it's the burden of proof is on the government to prove that I had more taxable income than I claimed on my return, correct?
Correct. And they have to prove that to a jury of 12 American citizens that live in the area by beyond the reasonable doubt to all 12 of them. That is a level of proof in a criminal tax case. In a civil case, when they're asking for money, there's no jury involved, and the burden of proof is by preponderance of evidence, which means whoever has the weight of their evidence is more in favor of this person versus the other. That's a general rule in most aspects of civil tax money situations. But your case is criminal. The government has always had the burden of proof. So that doesn't help you in any particular way, because that's just one of the well-known, well-established aspects of any criminal case. In criminal cases, the burden of proof is always on the government.
Now, more specifically, what would cause the government in a criminal case to drop the case and not take it? They knew that the burden of proof that they had to come up with, that without a reasonable doubt to convince 12 jurors, if they were shaky on it, they weren't 100% sure that they could prove it, they generally dropped the case, correct?
Well, let's put it this way. The government, if the government lawyers do not have at least a 90% confidence rate that they can prove their case and win, they will not take you to court. They want to be very confident that they can win and beat you. Otherwise, they are going to go after an easier target. That simple. There's over 100 million people that file 1040 forms every year. An equal number of trust, corporate, LLC, and other tax returns are filed. They don't have to come after you. You're just one little ant for them to pick on in their eyes. So, you know, if they don't have the confidence they can win the case against you, they are going to go after somebody else. Also, there are things you can do, tactics, techniques, and strategies, which I'm not at liberty to talk about on this public conference call, because if I talk about those things, the IRS will know about them and try to minimize those potential things that could help you, because they want to get you. So I'm going to expose these techniques and tactics that can help you strengthen your hand and minimize the likelihood of them wanting to come after you. But there are definitely things you can do, which could sometimes, you know, very strongly discourage them for wanting to come after you and pick somebody else that would be far easier target for them to get, because after all, they want convictions, wins. That's what they want. You are just another target for them.
I'll do what I have to do to get you on the private line. So I appreciate all the info. Take care. Good luck to everybody else. And I'll be in touch soon.
You got it, my friend. Thanks for calling. So, okay, folks, on this conference call, which I have, it's dedicated to answer your questions. Looks like we don't have a lot of questions, and that's fine. But I'm going to go around one more time. You can ask about any issues, because what I'm going to be doing in the upcoming conference calls of Freedom Law School, every conference call, I will talk about different aspects or angles of freedom, law, your rights, IRS in particular. For example, one week I'm talking about IRS summonses, how you can beat them. I can talk about how to stop an IRS audit. That could be another topic. Any audits, you can stop them cold, legally stop them. You know, how you can prevent the IRS from taking your paycheck, bank account, your stuff, what you can't do to challenge them properly. and more topics that I'm going to be doing on different conference calls to give me the opportunity to elaborate on each of those issues a little bit more fully for you. And so I'm going to be doing those in the upcoming conference calls later this year. But I want to make sure that I can help everybody, because people call me from all various classes and situations. People call me who are millionaires, and people call me who are on minimum wage or living on Social Security alone and anything in between. And I want to help everybody, and even the people who are poor who don't have anything. So if you have any questions or concerns, you're in a commerce club that's public. You can use private pseudonym if you want to ask any questions you have, and I'll be doing my best to answer your questions. So I'm going to go one more time to see if I'm going to ask any questions. And if there's no more questions, I'll end the call. And wish you all a good night, and I look forward to meeting you next week. There's a call from area code 585 of the question.
Yes, hi. This is Meg.
Hello, Meg.
Hi. I did a consultation with you a few months ago.
Yes.
And I have another question. I'm from the state of New York.
Yes, Meg. How may I assist you?
Okay. Just to refresh your memory, because I know you talked to lots of people. My husband and I had taken money out of a retirement account to buy a cottage that we were using as rental income. And so I took a penalty from the IRS for like, they want $20,000. This was a tax return from 2 years ago. And we never paid it. So they're garnishing my husband's Social Security check. And our plan is not to file any more taxes. And I actually heard your show from last week as far as sending the letters out to the legislative mm-hmm. branch, and I'm going to do that. excuse me. But my question is, does it make sense, because we did file last year, so does it make sense to try to settle with the IRS for that $24,000? It was $22,000 originally, and now we've got another $2,000 in penalties. Does it make sense to try to settle with them before they realize that we're not going to file again?
Not necessarily. Okay, because they, well, it depends on what you mean by settle. Let me clarify that. You mean you could come up with a payment plan with them, because, you know, what has happened, you did not do the proper ways. You could have perhaps challenged the IRS, beat the IRS, at least even delay them taking the money from your husband's Social Security. So a lot of those things were not done. So you could, you know, come up with a payment plan with them. And let's say, for example, instead of taking this Social Security, you come up with a plan, you pay, let's say, $100 a month, for example. That could be the case. Okay. But the amount of taxes involved are not that big that they are likely to give you a break much. And let me ask you, how much do you and your husband combined make every year, roughly?
Let's see. Probably around $60,000.
And you live in New York City or in a small city?
No, upstate New York, Rochester, New York.
Rochester area, okay. Well, yeah, see, if you, and how much are you taking from your husband's Social Security check every month?
I'm sorry, I'm having trouble hearing you.
How much is IRS taking from your husband's Social Security?
How much did I take in IHS? $250.
$250 is $3,000. Yeah, per month. That's $3,000 a year. That means that in about 9 years, the whole thing will be paid. So the IRS, well, you may try that, and they may lower it, but then again, maybe not. Oh, then you may be able to lower that to maybe 100 or 150 a month. I don't know. You possibly could. Okay, and you possibly could down the road actually get all that money back with interest after the IRS has taken all the money. So it might be actually, believe it or not, a beneficial thing in retrospect, that they might take, let's say, 8 or 9 years to take the money, but then you can go after that 8, 9 years to try to get the money back, and you possibly could get it back. If you get that money plus interest, not only are they going to, yes, it's $22,000, they take $27,000 over the years from your husband's Social Security. You can get that $27,000 back with interest. It might be over $30,000. But they are going to take the money
from
you.
How do you do that?
I doubt they give you, what's that? Because once you pay the tax in full, Meg, once the tax is paid in full, you can make a claim to the IRS for refund of all or part of the money. And you have, you know, 2 years to do that. And then the IRS has 6 months to say yes or no, to deny or accept your request or refund claim.
And oh, you're breaking up really years. Bad. Tell me again, I couldn't hear you.
You, after the tax is paid in full, it could be 8 or 9 years later, you will be given the opportunity to go after the IRS to get all that money back.
All right.
Interest. So that money.
You gotta wait until it's all paid.
Till all paid, yes. Not the interest part of the tax,
okay,
but the principal,
right,
the main part of the tax is gonna be paid. Then you can go after the money they took and get it back, and they have to pay interest on that money as well.
Ah, okay. All right. So,
so
let me ask you this, like,
a forced savings account for you.
Pardon?
It could be a, the money could be
a savings account.
Savings account, yes. You, they have to pay you. Yes, they have to pay you the same interest rate that IRS charges for people with the IRS money. They have to pay you the same interest rate, which I think is about 3% right now.
All right.
Better
now,
than any bank
let me
would
ask,
pay you.
Hmm?
Yes. Better rate so, that I any bank would give you.
Okay. So basically, just don't do anything. Don't file again and don't contact him and let him just take this money out of his Social Security and in 8 or 9 years get it back.
Yes.
That's I like one that option. Answer.
That's one option. But because it won't be a situation, maybe instead, you choose to make, you know, reduce it if you can to a lesser amount, like $100 a month. And then after paying it for, you know, up to 10 years maximum from the time the IRS assessed or fixed the amount of tax, you can say, okay, forget it, because they have only 10 years to collect the tax. They cannot take anything more from you. You can just say, okay, we paid you less than we otherwise would have. You may be able to do that as well. You have options. That's one of those things, Meg, that would be best discussed on the private conference call.
Okay. That sounds good. I will do that.
Okay. Very good. Thank you for that question, Meg. Let's go to a caller we have from area code 917. Call from area code 917 if you have a question. Please announce yourself now. No questions from caller from area code 917. Let's go to the caller from area code 973. If you have a question, a caller from area code 973, please announce yourself now.
This is kind of off the topic, but I remember receiving something a while back about some guy who had gotten all his, or at least several years worth of tax payment back from the IRS. He stopped paying and actually.
What's your name, my friend? What do I call you? What's your name?
Terry.
Terry. Yes, sir. How did you hear about Freedom Law School?
I've seen your name around for years. I know you've been around for years. I can't remember exactly where I saw it. It was probably some kind of Patriot type magazine.
Okay. Very good, my friend. Please continue.
Well, no, I was just wondering about this thing that I had received a while back, an email from somebody talking about somebody getting his, refunds, stopped paying and got refunds on previously paid taxes. I don't have the information in front of me right now. What actually I could do is I could probably try to look it up and give you a call next week to see if you're familiar with it, because I know at this point the description is kind of vague. But it was going around. I was always curious. I know that you can get back taxes when you're within the system. But this was somebody who had supposedly dropped out and wasn't, filing returns, and was able to go back and get several years worth of payments from the IRS. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's kind of how it went.
Well, to give you an answer, yes, I'm very familiar with the various techniques and approaches that people use to get the money that was taken from them out of their paycheck, usually back from the IRS. And sometimes those things work, sometimes they do not work, sometimes they do not work, and the IRS penalizes a person on top of that for making that attempt to get the money back. So I generally do not recommend doing that, because now the IRS can fine you for up to $5,000 each time you try to get your money back in a way that the IRS doesn't like or see in their eyes as normal. So I'll be careful about that approach.
Yeah, I guess it's better just let sleeping dogs lie, as they say. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. I would focus on the future of yours, Terry. On if you want to, it's better to, you can stop withholding from your paycheck now if you want it. That would be a more positive, forward approach than trying to get stuff back from the past.
I'm sorry. You were breaking up a lot again. You got to do something about that microphone. But what were you talking about, setting up an appointment or something?
No, what I was saying is that if to stop the withholding in your current years, or reduce the withholding on your paycheck, would be a more productive.
Right. Well, no, that's okay. Actually, I'm self-employed anyway, so it's not really a big concern of mine. But I did remember this thing floating around, and I was kind of skeptical of it. And I'm going to see if I can find it, and I can give you a better informed explanation if and when the next time I talk to you, okay?
Okay, sounds good, Terry.
Thank you.
You're welcome, my friend. Let's go to the caller we have from area code 217. The caller from area code 217, if you have a question, please announce yourself now. No question from a caller from area code 217. Let's go up to a caller we have from area code 916 from Sacramento, California. If you have a question, my friend, please announce
yourself. I'm just listening.
Now.
Thank you. I'm just
You're
listening.
Welcome.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome, my friend. Let's go to a caller we have from area code 920. If you have a question, a call from area code 920. From a call from area code 920. I think the call from area code 217 may have a question. Let me double check because this is it, folks. If he doesn't have any more questions, we will end the call for tonight. Does the call from area code 217 have any questions?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. You have a question, Eric? Yes. What is your name, my friend?
Leroy.
Yes, Leroy. How did you hear about Freedom Law School?
I just was on the internet and I ran across you guys and I wanted to get some more information. I got that package coming to me, but I had sent what I was really looking at was a what you can pay your I guess the federal money, federal fee with your for your bills, what I was looking at. Where you put in accepted for value, accepted for levy, they sent me something back for like a $5,000 back for that particular thing. So have you ever heard of that?
Accepted for value?
Yes. Will you
yes,
pay your
I've
bills
heard
for you?
About that. Yes, yes. Okay. That is what I call your patriot mythology. That is one of those baseless legal theories out there that sound good, make sense, feel good, feel right, but they are, and you find a lot of people talking about it on the internet, just like you see a lot of people talk about the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus on the internet. But they are false. Anyhow, so this is one of those false theories, and I'm gonna give a few more for you because you will come across theories about state versus U.S. citizenship arguments based on the Uniform Commercial Code or UCC 1-207 and other UCC sections. Arguments about your name being typed up in all capital letters, in all caps, being a debt. You are, they claim that's a debt, corporate, fictional entity, a straw man of you, not you. And your name is only your name spelled out in upper lower case. That's nonsense. That's patent methodology. Another one is about you stay out of their jurisdiction by not walking into their admiralty, maritime jurisdiction, or the statutory jurisdiction and go back under common law out of their administrative courts, not using zip code on your mail, objecting to their yellow French military flag. There's a lot of these things out there, in a straw man, redemption, expatriation, repatriation, except for value, all this stuff is just misinformation floating around. That's why one of the first things, right, that all is how easy it is to look up and verify anyone's legal claim for yourself in the law library. Now it's easy to do on the internet.
Oh,
so that's
okay. That was my question.
Okay.
That was my question.
Thanks for asking, Leroy. I appreciate that.
Okay. All right.
Folks,
well, thank you.
You're welcome, Leroy. Have a good night, my friend. And folks, this conference call is going to be ending in a minute. I just want to invite you all to tell your friends about Freedom Law School. Be sure to get your free Freedom Education Package at our website at livefreenow.org. You will get it mailed to you, and you will get free education emailed to you for a year. Education that you will not find easily anyplace else on the internet. You found a very unique source, Freedom Law School, that will educate you, back you up, support you, for you. If necessary, we'll write letters and responses for you to live free. Because, folks, you were born free. You were meant to live free in this free country we call America. And we've lost many of our freedoms. Let's get back our freedoms and have you and every one of us live a free life again. Thank you and have a good night.